Hi there, this is Kevin Skinner, pastor at First Baptist Church in Stockdale, Texas, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. If you live in the Stockdale area, then I would invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. to worship with us in person. You can also check out our webpage at fbcstockdale.org. Here at First Baptist, we are a community church with a kingdom mission, and we invite you to join us on that mission. If you remember, last December, contrary to what my wife said, a squirrel did not fall on our roof. Rather, the loud noise that she heard outside the kitchen window that Monday morning was a tree falling over, and it fell onto our fence, destroyed our fence, damaged the bell tower. Thankfully, both of those have been repaired. But that tree, it didn't fall over because a giant storm blew through and just a big wind blew it over. Rather, the tree fell over because the tree had become unhealthy. In fact, apparently it had been unhealthy for quite some time to the point that part of the trunk was hollowed out and there was a beehive inside of it. And so what happened was the tree just rotted at the roots and then just fell over. So that was the tree closest on this side of the house, closest to this building. You may have noticed recently that there's a tree missing in front of our house. That's because that tree was cut down just a couple of weeks ago and it was removed from the property. So after the tree fell down last December, our property stewardship committee thought it might be good to take a look at the tree that was in front of our house because the tree was around the same age and it was the same type of tree, and not to mention it also looked unhealthy. So they had a tree company come in and take a look at the tree, and they said, yeah, the tree does look unhealthy, and it could fall over as well at some point. Well, something you should know about that tree is that it grew with a natural bend towards our house. And so if that tree were to fall over, it would fall over not only onto our house, but it would fall directly onto our master bedroom. And so that tree posed a risk not only to our health, but it also posed a risk to our life. And so the choice was easy. The tree had to go. So we're in the middle of a series right now titled, Choose, Which Will You Worship? And if you remember, the title for our series comes from Joshua 24:15. So before we go any further, let's just be reminded once again of the call that we see in this verse. It says, but if it doesn't please you to worship the Lord, choose for yourselves today which will you worship, the gods your ancestors worshiped beyond the Euphrates River or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. As for me and my family, we will worship the Lord. And in this is really the call for them to turn from the false gods of their parents, to turn from the false gods of their land, and to know and to worship the one true God. Because here's the reality. As we think about these options that Joshua lays out before the people, there's only one option that was beneficial for their life. There's only one option that would provide hope for the people. Only one option that would provide life for the people. And that is to know and worship the one true God. The other gods that they could worship, the false gods that they could worship, ultimately, they wouldn't only be a risk to their spiritual health. These false gods would be a risk to their spiritual life. And so as Joshua lays out these choices before the people and then takes his stand, says, as for me and my family, we will worship the Lord. Really what he's saying is the choice is easy. Yes, you have these choices, but the choice is easy. I want you to hear me this morning. The choice is still easy. As we look at the false gods of our day, as we look at the false gods in our world, while they may look appealing to us at times, the reality is that they offer absolutely nothing for us when it comes to eternity. They offer absolutely nothing for us when it comes to eternal life. They can't provide eternal life for us. In fact, all they can do is pull our attention away from the only one who can truly provide true and eternal life for us, and that is the one true God. Ultimately, by worshiping these false gods, all we are doing is going down a path that leads to death. And so as we boil it down to simply the choice between life and death, we realize just how easy the choice really is. The choice is still easy. As for me and my family, we will worship the Lord. But regardless of how easy this choice should be for us, the choice is still ours to make. And so Joshua, as he lays out these choices before the people of Israel, we are reminded that these choices are laid out before us once again today. We can choose to worship the false gods of our parents. We can choose to worship the false gods of our land, or we can choose to worship the one who gives life. We can choose to worship the one true God. So choose, which will you worship? So if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, we're going to look at verses 23 through 27 this morning. Luke chapter 9, 23 through 27. Now let me just remind you of where we are in this series. As we have been reminded that we have these choices laid out before us, currently we're looking at the different false gods in our world today, in our land today. And this is what I've been saying to you for the last couple of weeks. I'm going to say it again this morning. We must recognize these false gods that we might turn from these false gods. That's my desire in this series, that we would recognize these false gods, that we might turn from these false gods, because my desire is, just as it was Joshua's desire, is that we would know and worship the one true God. So if you remember, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the false god of money. Last week, we talked about the false god of religion. This morning, we're going to talk about what I believe is the biggest false god that we face in our world today, and that is the false god of self. So in Luke chapter 9, prior to the verses that we're going to look at this morning, we see Jesus teaching and preaching to the crowds. In fact, in verses 10 through 17 of chapter 9, we see Jesus feed the 5,000, a very familiar passage to many of us. But then after Jesus feeds the 5,000, he kind of gets away to a private place with just his disciples. And as he's alone with the disciples, he asks them two questions. The first question he asks is, who do the crowd say that I am? Certainly, after Jesus feeds the 5,000 plus people with five loaves of bread and two fish, certainly the crowds of people are going to have some thoughts on who this man is. They're going to have some thoughts on who Jesus is. And so Jesus asks them this question, who do the crowd say that I am? And so the disciples answer, they say, well, some say that you're Elijah. Some say you're John the Baptist. Others say that you're an ancient prophet that has come back. But then Jesus asks another question. He asks them what I believe to be the most important question that any of us can answer in this life when it comes to Jesus. He says, but you, who do you say that I am? Here's the reality. There are many different things that the crowds of this world will say about Jesus. Some will say that he was just a good man. Some might say that he was a teacher or that he was a prophet. Others might say that he's just a fairy tale that's been made up, a useless hope for those who believe. But at the end of the day and at the end of this life, when we stand before God, when you stand before God, it's not going to matter how the crowds answered that question. When you stand before God, it's not going to matter what everybody else had to say about Jesus. It's not going to matter how your parents answered that question. It's not going to matter how your friends answered that question. When you stand before Jesus, it's only going to matter how you answered that question. But you, who do you say that I am? And so after asking this question, Peter spoke up and answered, God's Messiah. So that word Messiah means anointed one or chosen one. It can also be translated to the word Christ. That's why we call Jesus, Jesus Christ, not because that's his last name, but because that is a recognition of who he is. He is the chosen one, chosen to be the sacrifice for our sins, chosen to be the redeemer of mankind. Jesus is God the Son, chosen by God the Father to be our Savior. So here's the beautiful picture for us. Just as God chose Jesus to be our Savior, to be the Savior of mankind, in asking this question, who do you say that I am? Jesus is once again reminding the disciples that you have a choice to make as well. I've been chosen to be your Savior. I've been chosen to be your Redeemer. But will you choose to know and to worship me as Lord, Leader, Master? Will you choose to worship me as the one true God? Jesus was giving them the same choice that Joshua gave to the Israelites all those years ago. You can either say what the crowd say about me and you can choose to worship who or what the crowds choose to worship, or you can choose to know me and worship me as the one true God. Choose, which will you worship? Who do you say that I am? So let me ask this question this morning. Who do you say that Jesus is? It's the most important question that you will ever answer in this life. Who do you say that Jesus is? Do you believe him to just be a good man? Do you believe him to just be a teacher or a prophet? Or do you know him as the one true God? Do you know him as Lord? Have you submitted to him as leader of your life? Who do you say that Jesus is? Peter recognizes Jesus to be the Messiah. And then what we see is that Jesus goes on to talk about the cost of not only believing Jesus to be the Messiah, but the cost of following him as Lord, the cost of following him as leader, master over our lives. And really, as Jesus talks about the cost of following him as Lord, he addresses this false god of self. So with that in mind, let's read Luke chapter 9, verses 23 through 27. It says, "Then he said to them all, 'If anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life because of me will save it. For what does it benefit someone if he gains the whole world and yet loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory, and that of the Father and the holy angels. Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God." Now as we look at this passage, I want to begin by highlighting kind of some, just an unusual statement by Jesus in verse 27. Jesus says, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God. So what does this mean? How are some going to see and experience the kingdom of God before they tasted death, while others that were there would not see and experience the kingdom of God before they tasted death? So the three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they all record these words from Jesus. And in all three Gospels, directly following Jesus saying these words, we see Jesus take Peter, James, and John up Mount Tabor. And it's on Mount Tabor that we see the transfiguration. So the word that's translated there as kingdom could also be translated as royal splendor. So for them to see and experience the kingdom of God, the way that Jesus is referring to, is to see and experience the royal splendor of God. So during the transfiguration, as they're on Mount Tabor, it's as if Jesus pulls back the veil of his flesh. It's as if Jesus pulls back the veil of this world. Remember, Jesus came into this world as both fully God and fully man. His flesh was just a veil over his nature as God. And so as he pulls back his flesh, as he pulls back this veil of the world, they were able to see his nature as God. Peter, James, and John, they were able to see just a bit of the royal splendor of God. This was a reminder for them at that time, but this is a reminder for us today that to worship Jesus is to worship the one true God. This is not a new truth for you. I've shared that with you before, but it is a good reminder for us today, tomorrow, and forever that to worship Jesus is to worship the one true God. When we choose to worship Jesus, we are choosing to worship someone who was more than just a man. When we choose to worship Jesus, we are choosing to worship someone who was more than just a
good person, a teacher, or a prophet. When we choose to worship Jesus, we are choosing to worship the one true God. To worship Jesus is to worship the one true God. Now, I said earlier on that the choice really is an easy choice. When we boil it down to choosing life or choosing death, the choice really is an easy one. However, while it should be an easy choice for us, this false god of self that we face in this world, it can really get in the way sometimes. It can really hinder us from submitting to and truly worshiping, truly following the one true God. So there are a couple of truths that I want you to walk away with today as we think about this false god of self, but also as we think about turning from this false god of self that we might know and worship the one true God. So the first truth I want you to see is that worshiping the false god of self leads to death. Let's look at the first part of verse 24. It says, "For whoever wants to save his life will lose it." Worshiping the false god of self leads to death. Now, for the disciples, physical death was a very real threat for them. They needed to be reminded that they could very well face death both before Christ died and even after Christ died. Death was a real threat for them. In fact, many of the disciples died for their faith in Christ. But what Jesus is saying is to try and save their earthly life, that would mean that they would have to deny Christ as Lord. To try and save their earthly life would mean that they would have to reject Christ as Lord. And I believe that that is the greatest sin that we can commit. I believe that that is what blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is, to deny Jesus as Lord, to reject him as Lord. And so what Jesus says is if you're going to try and save your earthly life, ultimately you're going to lose your eternal life. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. Now, many of us in America, our life is not on the line like it was for the disciples all those years ago, at least not in the same way as the disciples. And so we may not be trying to save our earthly life and that we're not trying to prevent ourselves from being killed, but this is what many do try to do. We try and save our comfort. We try and save our sinful or fleshly desires. We try and save our lifestyle. And in trying to save all of those other things, we have to deny Jesus as Lord. We have to reject him as the master over our life. We have to reject what he has said in his word, the instructions that he has given to us, so that we can live how we want to, so that we can do whatever we want to do. We reject him as Lord so that we can save the life that we want for ourselves. And ultimately, we are worshiping this false god of self. So there's a Christian apologist by the name of Frank Turek. He goes around and he defends the Christian faith. He travels and he speaks on college campuses. He speaks in other places. And he says that many times he will ask this question of an atheist. He will say, if Christianity were true, now he believes Christianity to be true, but he's talking to an atheist. So he says, if Christianity were true, would you become a Christian? And sadly, he says, so many will respond by saying, even if Christianity were true, I would not put my trust in Christ because I want to do my own thing. It's the false god of self, because the false god of self says, do your own thing. The false god of self says, if it makes you happy, it can't be that bad. The false god of self says, do whatever makes you feel good. But I want you to know, that is a lie. Doing our own thing ultimately leads to death. This has been true since the very beginning, when Adam and Eve ate that fruit from that tree, when they chose to do their own thing, when they chose to satisfy their own desires, when they chose to fulfill their flesh instead of walking in obedience to what God said. Death entered into the world. Doing our own thing ultimately leads to death. And so I would urge you this morning, don't do your own thing. do God's thing. Don't simply worship your own desires or your own lifestyle. Don't elevate your own desires or your own lifestyle above what God has commanded us. Rather, submit to God. Walk in obedience to Him. Don't do your own thing. Do God's thing. Shane Pruitt, who works for the North American Mission Board, he's pointed out that the false god of self just keeps getting repackaged over the years. In the 1990s, we had the self-esteem movement. In the 1990s, we had the self-made movement. In the 2000s, we had the self-help movement. In the 2010s, we had the believe-in-yourself movement. And in the 2020s, we are in the midst of the self-love movement. The world just keeps telling us over and over again, put your trust in yourself. Put your hope in yourself. But I want you to hear me. Self is the problem. Because in and of ourselves, apart from Christ, we are tainted by sin, separated from God, and we cannot save ourselves. This is why Jesus came into the world to die for us. Because we need someone greater than ourselves. We need a Savior. And Jesus is that Savior for us. And so I would urge you this morning, don't put your trust in yourself. Put your trust in Jesus. Worshiping this false god of self leads to death. But now as we think about turning from this false god of self that we might know and worship the one true God, there's one final truth I want you to have this morning. Here it is. Worshiping the one true God leads to self-denial. Let's look at verse 23 again. Jesus said to them, "If anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." Worshiping the one true God leads to self-denial. So let me introduce you to a man by the name of Will Slattery. Back in 2005, Will and his friends went skydiving. Unfortunately, the plane started having problems and started to go down, causing them to have to jump out of their plane early somewhere off the coast of Costa Rica in the middle of the ocean. So Will found himself trying to stay afloat in the middle of the ocean alone. For several hours, he simply floated on his back, but in the middle of the night, a log floated by that he was able to grab hold of. He grabbed that log. He clung to that log. He held on to it for 13 hours. As daylight came, he saw land off in the distance. And so he began to try to swim to land while clinging to that log. But what he realized after several hours of trying to swim to land, that log was just dragging him further and further out to sea, further and further away from land. And so he had a decision to make. Do I continue to cling to this log that's providing me temporary life? It's providing me some type of life. Or do I let go of this log and swim to land so I can have real life? Ultimately, he chose to let go of the log. He swam to land and he survived. You know, as we think about this false god of self, as we worship this false god of self, so often we find ourselves clinging to things that make us feel good, clinging to things that make us temporarily happy. They promise us temporary life, but ultimately they drag us further and further away from the one who can truly satisfy and the one who can provide us true and eternal life. We cling to these things, but ultimately they lead to our death. So let me just pause right here and ask, what are you clinging to today? What is it in your life that's holding you back, that's preventing you from truly worshiping Jesus as Lord, from truly surrendering to Jesus as the master, the leader over your life? What are you clinging to today? Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's a sin. Maybe it's a lifestyle. Whatever it is, what are you clinging to? And if you're clinging to something that is preventing you from worshiping Jesus as Lord, from walking in obedience to Him, then this is what I would say this morning. It's time to let it go. It's time to deny yourself that you might truly follow Jesus as Lord and experience life. It's time to let it go. But I want you to hear me. Whatever it is that you are clinging to in your life, whatever it is that you need to let go of, I want you to hear me. Jesus is better. He's better than whatever it is that is dragging you away from true and eternal life. Jesus is better. Jesus is not asking you to let go of something that's better than Him. He's asking you to let go of something that will ultimately lead to your death so that in Him you can have life. What did he say in the second part of verse 24? Whoever loses his life because of me will save it. Whoever loses his comfort for me will save it. Whoever loses his lifestyle because of me will save it. You see, when we worship this false god of self, it leads to death. But when we deny ourselves, when we put to death this false god of self, ultimately it leads to life. And not just temporary life. It leads to eternal life in Jesus Christ as Lord. And so as we recognize that worshiping this false god of self leads to death and worshiping Jesus, the one true God, leads to life, once again I would say the choice is still easy. Why choose death when we can choose life? But that is the choice that's still before us. And the choice is still yours to make. You can worship the false gods of this land, the false god of money, the false god of religion, the false god of self, or you can turn from these things that cannot provide life, and you can turn to the one who can truly give you life. You can turn to and worship Jesus as Lord, the one true God. The choice is yours, so choose which will you worship. And if you've never chosen to worship the one true God by surrendering to Jesus Christ as Lord, then I want to give you the opportunity to do that this morning. And so in just a moment, we're going to sing another song. And as we sing this song, this is going to be your opportunity to respond. And if you're here today and you would say, you know what, I have never surrendered to Jesus Christ as my Lord. I've been pursuing all of these other things, but I've never surrendered to Jesus as Lord. But today I'm ready to do that. Today I'm ready to turn from the things that lead to death, and I'm ready to turn to the only one who can give me life. If that's you, then I want to invite you to respond this morning. I'd love to talk with you and pray with you. Now maybe you're here and you would say, you know what? I've got stuff that I'm clinging to that's dragging me further and further away from my walk with Christ. You recognize there are things in your life that you need to let go of, things that you don't need to cling to any longer. I would encourage you to release those things, let go of those things this morning. You can confess those things to the Lord right where you're at, but if you need someone to pray with you, then I would invite you to do that. I'd love to talk with you. I'd love to pray with you this morning. Now, maybe you're here and you would say, I've given my life to Christ, but I've never taken that step to publicly profess Christ as Lord through baptism, something I believe that we are all called to do as believers, to profess Him as Lord through baptism. If you've never taken that step, then I would invite you to respond as well. I'd love to talk with you, pray with you. We've got several baptisms coming up. I'd love to get yours on the schedule as well. And maybe you're here and you would say, I've given my life to Christ. I've been baptized by immersion already. I've been visiting First Baptist Church Stockdale. And I know that God's calling me to make this my church home, to connect my life with this church body, to be on mission with this church body. If that's you, then I would invite you to respond as well. I'd love to talk with you, pray with you. Today you can become a member here at First Baptist Church Stockdale. Whatever it is that God's calling you to do, in these final moments, would you surrender to Him? Would you submit to Him and walk in obedience to Him? Would you obey Him as Lord this morning? Would you stand with me right now? Let's go to the Lord in prayer together.
Thanks for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of every service, I offer an invitation to respond, and I'd like to invite you to respond today. If you'd like to make Jesus Christ your Lord, or if you'd like information about membership here at First Baptist Stockdale, then head on over to fbcstockdale.org/respond. Your response will come directly to me, and I'll follow up with you this week. God bless you, and have a great week.